Hi, welcome back to season 3 of Trained. At Nike, we believe that greatness isn't born, it's trained. And that means more than just a workout. Each episode, we'll bring you conversations with leading experts in what we call the five facets of fitness: training, recovery, nutrition, mindset, and sleep. I'm Ryan Flaherty, Senior Director of Performance at Nike. I train some of the world's best athletes, like Saquon Barkley, Russell Wilson, and Marcus Mariota. We're kicking off our new season with some tips on how to create a support system that will help you achieve your training goals. You're listening to Trained, presented by Nike.
It's just that never give up attitude. That's one of my favorite things about soccer and about, you know, playing on a team sport, and just the I got your back, you got mine. And when you're on the field and you know that, you just want to do whatever you can. Like, that's been the culture of this team, and you don't want to let anyone down who's ever wore this crest before.
That's pro soccer player Julie Ertz. When Julie's not playing with her club team, the Chicago Red Stars, she's a starting midfielder with the U.S. Women's National Team, which won the World Cup in 2015. Right now, she and the U.S. team are competing in this year's tournament, bringing the same heat and determination to earn their spot as back-to-back world champions. Julie and I recorded this interview during Julie's training season, just as she was gearing up for the World Cup. We talked about everything, from how she mentally prepares for the tournament to how she eats before some of her biggest games. But one thing we really unpacked is how she has built a support system over the course of her career. Julie has worked hard to surround herself with people who not only want her to succeed, but who actively help her to stay focused on her goals. And it made me think about the importance of surrounding yourself with like-minded people and creating your own training community. Research shows that you're likely to be similar to the five people who are closest to you. Think about your inner circle. You probably do the same activities, have similar opinions, even eat the same foods. Those are the people who have the biggest influence on you. I tell my athletes this all the time. If you want to make real progress, you have to surround yourself with people who are going to influence you positively and push you towards your goals. And that's what Julie has done. Everyone in her world, especially her husband, the Philadelphia Eagles tight end Zach Ertz, supports her in her training and her career. They keep her grounded, centered, and accountable every day. A lot of the athletes I work with are married to other pro athletes or to people who are incredibly successful in another field. That's not surprising, given the research around the impact of who you spend your time with. But what's unique about Julie and Zach's relationship is the way they support each other. They know how to read each other. They understand how physically demanding each other's careers can be. It's this mutual respect for each other that make Julie and Zach successful pro athletes. I know that not everyone is married to a professional athlete, but everyone can work to build a training community that will help you achieve your goals. In an earlier episode of Trained, Why Talent Alone Isn't Enough, we talked with Angela Duckworth about self-control and goal setting. One of Angela's biggest tips for improving self-control is something called self-selection, choosing to be around people or in places that bring out the best in you. If you're trying to make a change, find a community of people who are on similar paths. One way to do that is to build up friendships at the gym. Talk to that person that you see working out all the time and set a gym schedule so you hold each other accountable to show up. Or join a training community that already exists, like a sports league, a run club, or a powerlifting group. Go out and find people who eat well, who sleep 7 to 9 hours, who take training and recovery seriously, who stay positive when faced with challenges. Remember, training isn't an isolated event. It weaves into everything we do. In order to stick to your goals, you've got to create a community that will help you perform at your best. Julie will tell us more about her specific training routine and how she and her teammates on the Women's U.S. National Team support each other through off-season training, the World Cup, and much more. So let's get to our interview. First off, just want to say thank you for joining me today. I know you're super busy and in the middle of this kind of lead up to the World Cup, so I really appreciate you taking the time.
Oh, no worries.
So you're a few months out now from the tournament starting in June. What does a training day and practice, you know, look like for you guys today?
Yeah, I mean, this is kind of like the time where you kind of bring everything that you've done, you know, through the 3-year cycle together. kind of becoming, you know, one and that whole team united thing. I mean, you always have it, but it definitely, the year of the World Cup, that really starts to kick in as well. So, yeah.
Yeah. That's the one thing about what you guys are doing, which is so cool. I mean, you guys have like an entire country behind you watching and cheering for you guys. So how does that motivate you guys? Do you get a chance to just take it all in at that point?
I think now I understand and get to take it in. Obviously, when I was around the World Cup in 2015, being younger, I just kind of was a little bit naive and just like didn't really have any understanding or expectation. I've never been to a big tournament before. And being so close, obviously it was in Canada. So like just how close it was and how much support we had come up was really unreal. Like we had home games, like I think 98%. Like we're American fans. I mean, that's wow. What it felt like. So for me, to see it and just to feel it and that energy of American energy was inspiring yeah. And motivating. And, you know, it's pretty crazy how much faster you run when you hear banging drums behind you. But yeah, like it was, yeah. It was really cool. It was really the first time I saw someone ever buy my jersey. And I was like, so honored, like mid-game, like I just would want to be like, wow, thank you for like it just was so crazy.
Yeah.
You know, I was 21, I think. I don't even know how old I am now, but it was just like yeah. Such an honor. And like, it's still like the coolest thing.
How do you guys motivate each other? Does it just naturally happen because of the level of talent that's on that roster? How do you guys help each other stay motivated, not just on the pitch, but also, you know, in the weight room?
Well, let me just, the DNA of this team, the history of this team. I mean, the second my first camp, I mean, you are thrown in and you feel it. You feel the drive. You feel the competition. You said it yourself, like the depth. I can go on and on about, I mean, I've played against some amazing teams, amazing players in the world. And some of the hardest games I've ever had in my career have been inner squads. Like,
yeah.
I say that because regardless of where you're at, and everyone has had, you know, the times where you're playing, where you're not playing, you're there to make the person next to you better. You're there to improve. You're there to, you know, have confidence in yourself to show your craft that you love so much. From the second I came on to the camp, like you, I mean, the energy is there, the want, the will, no matter, I always laugh when one of our coaches are like, yeah, today is a lower, lighter session. And I'm like, maybe for you, because regardless of what we're doing, everyone wants to do it at 150%.
So Julie, you mentioned culture. Talk through that a little bit. What exactly is it about the culture that makes it so special?
Obviously you have to start with competitive for sure. That fight, that like American pride, like I just like, it's just like a movie. Like I just feel like, you know, that battle, the all the way to the last second, just that American fight, you know, that like history of sports, like every time you watch like a movie, whatever, like I just feel like it's so true. Like it's just that never give up attitude that I love. Like that's one of my favorite things about soccer and about, you know, playing on a team sport. And I just feel that like just the I got your back, you got mine. And when you're on the field and you know that, like you just want to do whatever you can. Like you probably hear this saying all the time where it's like jump or how high kind of thing.
Yeah,
run through that wall and you go with no question kind of thing. It's just kind of like I just feel like that's been the culture of this team. And it just when people come in, regardless of how many caps you have, how old you are, whatever, you want to be a part of that and you don't want to let anyone down who's ever wore this crest before.
How do you talk to yourself? What are some of the things you say to yourself? What's your internal dialogue like?
I have internal dialogue where I talk to myself, but I also have my support. Zach, my husband, is my, if I'm stuck, I'm like, I need to say this out loud and I want you to hear what I'm saying kind of thing. That's extremely helpful. But I think what I ask myself is, where am I? Am I on the path of like where I want to be? Am I, you know, on the right path of my goals? Have I been doing everything that I can do? And then I ask those questions because if I ask them and if I ask them out loud kind of thing, you really, you know, you can't lie to yourself because you know.
Yeah.
So I think those are huge questions.
For sure. You mentioned your husband, so I want to go into that now. Obviously, Zach plays for the Eagles, and you guys are like one of the top sports power couples out there. And, you know, you just mentioned kind of he being your sounding board and the person that you can kind of lay it all out there for, knowing there's no judgment. How else do you guys support each other in both of your careers? Because obviously it's very important to both of you guys individually, but together, how do you guys be there for each other throughout the busyness of both of your seasons?
Yeah, I think we really have and had to work on this, and obviously through dating and then now getting married, like one of the things when we talked about when we got married was to really put where we're at and the health of our relationship first, so that, you know, we're able to support each other in the strongest and most stable way. And that's been a learned thing. Obviously we started dating in college, so, you know, you're growing up and all that kind of stuff as well, but just to continue that trust, because we've just seen how much our support in each other and our love for each other has really helped us on the field as well as off. So I think for us, because we love our sport so much, our feelings are, you know, are as adamant on the field as off the field, in the sense of, you know, if I'm having a bad day on the field, my whole mood has changed. And so we've really learned that, you know, we want to have perspective. Yeah. We want to go out there, and I think just having that support and that continued push through all the highs and lows is something very special that we don't take for granted.
For sure.
And yeah, like, I think we're each very different in our individual craft, and so be able to learn from each other is huge. Zach's very, very driven and routine oriented, and that's really helped me in my career. And Zach always says my positivity and like continue to push and support him is huge. And so we just try to give each other, you know, what we need, and, you know, not perfect at it all the time.
We're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, Julie breaks down her average day in the gym and why she thinks that adversity has the potential to be her best friend. Stick around, we'll be right back. If you're a trainer, join a community of trainers looking to make fitness better for everyone. Learn from leading experts in performance, mindset, nutrition, recovery, and sleep. And get an exclusive 30% discount on Nike gear. Apply at nike.com/NTCPro. So you're super busy in the middle of this lead up to the World Cup. When it comes to preparing for this, what was a week look like today? Like Monday, you know, through Friday, like strength training, how many strength training days are you doing? How many days of recovery do you have, and that kind of stuff?
I'm probably one that lifts a little bit more. Okay. I really enjoy the weight room. So I'm probably 3 to 4 times a week. Soccer's really almost every day. I think 6 out of 7 days we're probably, you know, doing field, technical work, that kind of stuff.
Can you tell us just what a day looks like in the gym for you when you're training?
Yeah, when I'm in the gym, usually I'm starting with like foam rolling or tennis ball or a softball, trying to get everything kind of like moving and kind of get familiar with how my body's feeling. I really like to go on the treadmill a little bit, like kind of just get in a little bit of an incline to kind of get the blood flowing a little bit. I usually start with like a circuit of like warm-ups, a lot with band. I think a huge thing is activation. You know, it's getting the glutes activated. It's the clams. It's band walks, out, backwards, side, lateral, all that kind of stuff. I know a lot of people are fans of doing arms like first and then legs second kind of thing. I kind of like to mix them up a little bit, just so that I'm not too fatigued, so I can really make sure that my form is good. So depending, like I like to do a leg type, like static type of thing, whether it's just squatting or lunges or something like that, with kind of something a little bit more aerobic, where either it's like burpees or jumping or that kind of stuff. I just feel like it can kind of really get my heart rate up, because it's just like kind of extra zone of fitness as well. And then it depends on my sets. I like to do a lot of sets. I know it's a little bit more tiring, but I feel like it works for me. And then if I go to arms, I kind of try and do the same thing. So if I'm doing, you know, curls or something, I'll probably do some push-ups or, you know, a variation of some type of push-up or pull-up or that kind of thing, that kind of is a little bit more movement. I kind of finish with my heavier stuff at the end. I only really pick 1 to 2 heavy type things, like a squat rack or something like that at the end. I don't like just go my whole workout of all this heavy stuff. Like it's kind of useless for me, considering I still need to get up and down the field, I think, for my body type. I like to do core at the end, stretching core, I'm usually in there for about two and a half hours.
And then, you know, normal time of year, not just like lead up 2 months for the World Cup, but like how many days a week do you do that? Would that be 3 days a week kind of thing?
Probably like four. Well, okay. It depends. Usually I would say like three like that. One day is pretty much like body weight stuff. A lot of like balancing stuff.
Yeah.
I would say body work, balancing.
So what do you like to do for recovery? Like, what does your recovery look like?
I love sleep, so I'm going to go with that one. My number one form of recovery. But I also love the pool. I've really loved to, you know, you're basically weightless in there. So I love moving around in there. I'm a big fan of yoga. I think, I mean, obviously stretching, that kind of thing. The meditation piece is an added bonus. I don't quite meditate, but I do love my own time, my own space, getting kind of right mentally. So just alone time as well in that sense.
Yeah.
Those are like my go-to that I really enjoy.
And the best form of recovery is sleep. So how long has sleep been a big part of your life and your training? Has it always been really important for you, or is it something that recently you've kind of learned more about?
I think my parents would say I've always been a really good sleeper and napper. Like, I've never really had a hard time with it. I've actually become more early riser, like as I gotten older. I think I'm probably the second early riser on the team. I'm in there. I'm in the top three, I think. Not by setting alarm. I just happen to enjoy kind of like my morning. Obviously, I'm super close with Alyssa on the team. So she's a very early riser. So usually they room us together. We kind of laugh because we're kind of up with the sun kind of thing.
Yeah.
So I love it because I, you know, get my coffee morning run with her. And, you know, she does her crossword puzzle and I get to just read. So it's kind of like our time in the morning. So I've actually really enjoyed the early morning. I can really sleep anywhere. I've learned to sleep on a plane, too, which I guess a lot of people can't.
No,
do,
that's an art. That's definitely an art for sure. How many hours a night do you get?
Oh, I'm at like 9, 10.
Oh, great.
I'm telling you, I sleep well.
Yeah, we just had a podcast recently with Dr. Matthew Walker, who talks about, you know, 8 to 9. I shared it with some of the athletes I work with, and half the group was like looking at me like I would, you know, two heads, because they were like, 9 hours? Who can sleep 9 hours? But it's like, I mean, there's more and more research going to show that you perform at your best around 10. So the fact that you're getting 9 is major, major positive.
Yeah.
What do you do to get your body back to where it needs to from game to game once the World Cup begins?
Massages, I think, in the first few days is a huge one. I really like that. I think just soft tissue work is huge on the muscle and the mind. I think it's pretty relaxing.
For sure, yeah.
I'm huge into like using Mother Nature as healers as well, in the sense of cherries, blueberries, turmeric. And I know that kind of sounds like, you know, kind of like random that people don't know, but I think food is part of one life, eating. But I think just the benefits that you get from it.
Yeah. So what does your diet look like? Like, what do you eat? Just give me a kind of idea of what you eat and what's important to you.
I like to have a really kind of small breakfast, a lot of snacks, and then go out and train. I enjoy smoothies and protein shakes and all that kind of stuff. So I usually have that first and then kind of make my meals from there. A lot of vegetables and fruit I've learned to love. So that's kind of what I do or try to add in around lunchtime. And then I love to cook, which is good, obviously, because nutrition is so important. Yeah. And I've learned to make a mass amounts because Zach loves to eat a lot of amount of food. But yeah, usually it's pretty, like, I try to add as much as I can. Again, I love reading about nutrition.
Do you stick to any type of diet? So like, do you do like paleo or Whole30, or do you just kind of know what your body needs and you kind of have an idea of what healthy means for your body?
Yeah, for sure. Like, I think as time gone on, I think it's no secret of what's considered healthy. I think moderation is huge.
Yeah, yeah.
At the end of the day, if I'm hungry, it means my body needs food. I don't try and do the whole like, oh, I already ate this kind of thing. I really try to stay as in tuned with what my body's telling me. And I think by knowing that I'm already putting in healthy food makes that easier. Obviously, there's sometimes I want to make, you know, other choices, but knowing just the benefits and seeing them firsthand as time's gone on obviously makes that easier.
Do you have a pregame meal you eat every time you play, or is it kind of just adjust based on what you feel like that day?
No, I actually do. Well, I do eat the same thing on game day. It's not like a superstitious thing. I just like it on game day. I like making kind of like an open face, like egg sandwich, like with bacon type thing. for some reason, I don't know when I started doing that. I just kind of liked it because it kind of puts everything in there. And it's obviously a lot heavier, kind of to last throughout the day. At lunchtime, I just snack. Or I just kind of wait way later. I eat pretty far away from game. I don't know what it is. The closer, I just don't like eating that close to the game. I just leave that time alone. I have pancakes for my next meal, and that's it. That's what I eat.
So, Julie, you mentioned yoga being, you know, a part of your recovery and what you do in between your strength training sessions. Can you just talk about what role yoga plays for you and what type of yoga you do and how often?
Yeah, again, depends where I'm at. I love just a yoga, like a basic yoga. I mean, I am not really doing it to be able to do handstands on my head. However, I can do that now. But I kind of mentioned a little bit of that meditation, that mental piece that kind of comes with it. But yeah, it's really just the stretching piece. I love Yoga Sculpt, which is more of a workout-based thing, but I just really like it. I feel like it kind of is a different type of lifting, and it's continuous. It's hard. The smaller muscles, I feel like it worked a little bit more. So
yeah.
It adds the balancing component while you're doing it. So I'm a huge fan of both. It's either basic yoga or I'm doing Yoga Sculpt.
So much of meditation is just the part of just trying to become more present, right? So like, how do you become more present?
I don't have that art form down. I mean, there's players on our team that could really do it and get in the, I don't even know what it's called, the zen of it. Like, I'm not there yet. But for me, I think my presence is in tuned with my body, in tuned with where I'm at, where I want my mindset. I'm huge into positivity. I think alone time can really help me get there and assess where I'm at and where I need to be.
Another thing I want to ask you on top of that is, I think you had a knee injury last year, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So through your injury rehab process, like, what was something you learned about yourself that you kind of realized, like, man, I have to really stay on top of this type of training, or like single leg work or eccentric? What was it for you that you learned about yourself that you're going to continue to carry on post-injury?
For sure. I think out of any injury, you really learn about your weaknesses, kind of, you know, where is the injury stemming from? Like, what kind of, you know, everybody's different. So at that time, you really get to learn, like, and be even more in tuned with your body, whether that's, you know, a weakness in your glutes, or, you know, you kind of learn your body even more during that time. So I think for me, like, you know, my rehab was really a lot of like single leg stuff to make sure that my left and my right was the same strength. I think I kind of noticed that I had like a little bit weaker left leg. And so like, I think that single leg strength, you know, that goes for multiple things. I did a ton of band work and all that. So it's really just, you know, activation. I think a lot of people don't realize that sometimes your muscles quite aren't all awake, and to really focus one by one to turn those on. I think I've learned continuously. But yeah, and the thing is, you know, as I'm getting older, you know, you have a different thing that you need to work on. But I think just the mental piece is so huge, especially as a professional athlete, and especially in a injury time. It's never a fun time. I'm never going to sugarcoat that. Injuries suck. But yeah, I think there is a lot of things that you learn, and just the mental piece is huge.
You know, obviously you're going through like a pretty lot of adversity when you're dealing with injury, and it's tough to stay mentally positive. But what were some of the things you worked on mentally through that time?
Acceptance. I have a hard time, you know, when I'm injured, I'm like, I'm fine. I can go through it. I can push it. And sometimes you have to listen to your body. And I think that's the hard piece, because you want to be go, 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 on, push, push, push. Like, you know, you talk about, you know, the mental toughness and the grind. And I love that so much about being a professional athlete. But it's hard for me to sometimes slow down, because I have goals set and high standards of where I want to play, where I want to be. And I think the acceptance piece of that injury piece is just always been hard to me, because somebody will be like, oh, you have to take a week off. And to some people, a week doesn't seem like a time, but to me, it just feels like a multitude of years is what it feels like for me. So I've learned that. I say that I learned that now, but you know, every single time I still have to tell myself that.
For sure.
I think I'm going to go with acceptance.
Okay. So switching up a little bit, I think I want to go into, like, what is it that you want people to remember you like? What is it that you want to leave the game when you're done playing?
I would love for people to think that I was, or say that I was, a great teammate, that I always had their back no matter what. I would love for them to feel like I was a warrior on the field, that I helped continue what I learned from the players before me, that I was like an aggressive player that never gave up. This sounds so funny. I'm like kind of laughing up, like, but like I do.
To you. That's good. How would you define warrior? Like, what does it mean to be a warrior?
I just feel like never give up. Like, day in and day out trying to grind it out. You know, there's a lot of highs and lows that come into the sport, and I'd hope that I could, you know, hopefully at least made an impact that way.
What advice do you have for kids growing up today who want to play pro soccer someday in the future?
I always say that adversity can be your best friend if you look at it in a positive light.
Why exactly would you say that? What have you learned about that over your career that you would want to pass that down to the generation below?
Because I feel like it's important to be realistic. Like, trust me, in my lows, like, this is what I tell myself still. Because when you're kind of stuck, when you're stuck in a low in life, a low in, you know, your career, whatever, like, you can come out either way. Like, you can kind of give up or get better, or the path that you're on is actually leading you to something greater. And so, again, like, through different times in my life, when you look back at it now, because it's a lot easier now to reflect on it, I'm like, wow, if I didn't have this happen, or X, Y, and Z, I wouldn't have blank. And I think people forget that. And don't get me wrong, I can be all up in my emotions, all Drake in my feelings. Like, I get it. Like, so I think, like, just knowing that and you being able to choose how you respond to it, it not being that you can't control everything. Like, I just have felt like when I say that adversity can be your best friend, this is the moment that you are given an opportunity to change, to learn, to get better, to find a new path that will ultimately, like, test you.
Yeah.
I mean, of course, like, I think the idea of, like, everyone says perfection, but there's so much beauty in imperfection, because it ultimately comes out greater than I think you could ever expect.
Yeah.
And I feel like in my life, I've learned that multiple times. It just kind of depends where you're at in your high or your low, or your valley or your hill. It all kind of depends.
That's great advice for anybody listening. Thank you, Julie. I really appreciate your time. I know how busy you are, so.
Yeah, thank you.
Like, really, thank you. This was awesome.
Thank you for your time.
Of course, of course. It was so great talking to Julie about her career and training philosophy. But if there's one thing I'm going to take away from our conversation, it's this. I love Julie's take on nutrition. She doesn't worry about sticking to one diet, and she doesn't think of nutrition as something that is emotional or stressful. She just knows what her body needs and responds accordingly. She grazes on healthy snacks throughout the day, and if she wants a chicken wrap or some pancakes, she eats them. There's so much pressure to commit to a diet, and there can be a lot of shame or guilt if you deviate from that diet. But I think we can all learn from Julie's approach to nutrition. You don't have to shift everything in your life in order to eat well. We should all just try to follow Julie's plan and see if it works for you. Eat when you're hungry. Make the healthiest choices you can in that moment. Remember that there's not just one definition of healthy, and listen to your body's needs. I want to wish Julie, her teammates, and the other athletes playing in France the best of luck as competition kicks off on June 7th. And make sure to download the Nike app to follow the journey of Julie and the U.S. Women's National Team throughout the competition. Just click on the link in our show notes. Trained is produced by Nike Training Club. If you're looking to take your training routine to the next level, check out the Nike Training Club app. In it, you'll find holistic guidance and free workouts designed by Nike experts. It's a great way to stick with your training goals, no matter how much time you have, where you are, or what's going on in your life. Go check it out. That's Nike Training Club app, available on both Android or iOS. Thanks for listening to Trained. If you like what you hear, please help spread the word about the show. Go to your podcast app, rate and review the show, and let us know what you think. Your feedback matters, and we want to keep making great episodes for you to listen to. We'll be back next time with a conversation with NBA All-Star and yoga enthusiast Kevin Love. This is Trained. Talk to you soon.
Consult your doctor before engaging in an exercise program of any kind, especially if you have a medical condition. Use good judgment and common sense about your own fitness level and ability when engaging in a training program. If something doesn't feel right, stop immediately and seek medical attention as necessary.